Welcome to the Rad Dude Cast.
Anthony, that's not your job. Welcome.
And we're off.
Welcome to the Rad Dude Cast. Thank you guys for listening. Real quick, just right off the bat, one thing we wanted to mention. You guys know this has never been a political podcast, but we are, of course, aware and care about what's happening in the world right now with George Floyd and all of these protests and in our individual lives, we are addressing the situation in our own ways that we choose. But the Rad Dude Cast has always, we've always kind of seen it as just a brief break from the problems of life, you know, a little respite from your daily worries, and a way to bring people together through laughter. So that's why, you know, basically we just wanted to let you know that that's why we're just going to keep being silly idiots. But you know, we do care. We're going to keep doing what we do rather than address it on the Rad Dude Cast. We will address it in our personal lives and ways with which we choose. I think, right, guys, that's about it. Anything to add?
I'm not gonna say something funny. That was great. I choose not to say.
Yeah. Greg just sent me a $25 Venmo request for kale. What was that about?
It's about the kale that you owe me. I didn't want to bring it up. You owe me $25 for kale, so you better send it to me.
What the hell, man? He sent that to me during the very heartfelt speech, which, you know,
thanks. I literally put the phone in front of my camera so people wouldn't see that I was requesting the money, and you're blowing me out of the water. I wanted to look like, yes, I stand behind everything Brendan said. Do not listen to Anthony. I don't need my kale money now.
What did you buy him, like 9 pounds of kale?
I was going to say, what does $25 worth of kale look like?
That's a better question. But I was trying not to talk about why Greg needs so much kale for what's happening to his body.
Are ruining everything. Instead, we can't speak of what's happening right now.
I didn't want to, Greg. You forced my hand. You interrupted. Brandon, let me say, man, you're the way you spoke, you really fall in line in a legacy of great Irish writers that your bloodline is from. But meanwhile, Greg, this Gavone, I might add, messaged me about all the kale that I bought him, which I was never going to bring up again because it's such a horrendous topic between us.
You owe me the money. Now, what? The reason I sent it before we get into
that's here or there.
This is we're going to be going into a very long episode that will then be split across the week, and I didn't want to forget to pay our producer. So I requested the money now from you and Brendan and paid our producer so I didn't forget later. So
what?
Fuck you for not caring about minorities.
Well, why'd you write kale? Why'd you write kale?
Because I was trying to pay attention. Because when you put in Venmo, it says, hey, ask, request money, put in a thing, like kale. And I just said what it said. I just put kale because it says put kale.
Or
I didn't want to, I was paying attention to Brendan.
Or during these very sensitive times, Greg has revealed that he has a very intricate system for how he quantifies people by different race, using nicknames such as kale and lettuce.
Harumi is the minority on this podcast because he's the only producer, okay? He is a minority as in there are three of us, and then he is the minority of a producer. And you don't care about minorities as far as jobs are concerned. Can we get into the podcast?
I'm at all the factories.
Greg is going to introduce what is happening, which is a very special moment. But I just have to jump in because everyone always fucking ignores the fact that 99% of our listeners are audio only. You may have heard a voice you didn't recognize. That is, of course, the one and only Joe, Greg's brother. I love him. He's here to help us out with a little bit of a special project. Now, I think I'm the only guy that calls you Joe, right? Everyone calls you Joe.
Well, Greg and Monica call me Joe. Everyone else calls me Joey. They've stuck to Joe.
But, the wolf.
any or the Wolf, any nickname you'd like to use is fine.
Or Joey Southside.
Yeah.
All right, Greg.
Dan, can I say something real quick? Dan, as someone who's been the number one Rad Dudecast fan from day one, mm-hmm. it's nice to finally meet you, and I just think you're doing a lot of excellent work, all things Thank considered.
I'm big Please fan. Don't talk to our producer.
Sorry.
Now, I'm going to go to gallery mode as I was instructed earlier.
I hate you.
No, you were instructed to do whatever the essence. Fuck you want. You nobody instructed you to do anything.
I was told earlier to do
that. No, you weren't you. Told that. You weren't really? Told that, Anthony. It was a discussion between Greg and Dan about what mode would be better to record in. It literally has no effect what you do. None whatsoever. You could turn your screen off. It doesn't fucking matter.
I now, hate Greg, what gonna, you represent. I hate I'm what not gonna you turn represent. It off.
That seems like too much. But I am in gallery mode.
What did I say before? I said, let's not get stuck up on the instructions of the game so that we can get into the game. So instead of getting stuck up on the instructions, you decided to get stuck up on before we even
before
start the
podcast. Before even he warned you about.
I said, I want to get in the game. We don't have a lot of time. Well, we have too much. And okay, we're going to move on. Welcome to the podcast. Today we're going to be playing Dungeons & Dragons. The Wolf is here. He is going to be our dungeon master. This is the second time we've ever played Dungeons & Dragons, but we're going all the way, and the Wolf is going to explain how it's done, and then we're going to get into it in what might be a 3 to 6-part episode. We don't know how long this is going to go. Joe, do you want to...
Well, real quick, Greg, if I could add on to what you said, I think some of our, you know, we garnered a lot of fans. That was a very early episode. So some of our fans may not be aware. We have done this before. We never completed the game, but it was a stunningly popular episode. And I think what we've secured in Joe is a far superior dungeon master, which I think will lead to a superior level of gamesmanship.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I want to piggyback off what Brendan is saying and say, what's the story with bribes about this thing?
We're going to pause that. We're going to let Joe cover.
That's a legit question.
It's not because you don't even know how the game works to bring in bribes. Let Joe cover it, and we can ask him about bribes after he talks about it. I'm not throwing your question away. I'm just placing it on the table. I don't want a dessert first. See dessert when dessert is served.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm going to go ahead on that dessert analogy and say, I am throwing your question away. I'm taking your slice of cheesecake and I'm throwing it on the fucking ground. There's no bribes. You don't have any money. Let Joe tell us what to do.
I'm going
to
argue, why are you throwing it on the ground? Now I got to clean up the ground. Why don't you put it in the trash where the desserts, where his dessert belongs?
That's what I call the ground.
So,
okay.
They answered my question, actually.
All right, Joe. I have to put now. So, Joe, what do we have to do? Let's start this thing off. Give us a little bit of a walkthrough.
Right. So just to start, this will not be the strict traditional method of Dungeons & Dragons. This is a version of Dungeons & Dragons so that everyone here can immediately jump in, maximized for the format we're in. Obviously, we don't have a game board. We don't have pieces. This is going to be as much Dungeons & Dragons as we can have while keeping this entertaining and interesting for you guys and maximizing it through Zoom chat or whatever the thing is that we're on.
Great.
I think it's Zoom Pro.
Yes, Zoom Pro. Forgive me. Also, Ant, about bribes, obviously I cannot accept a bribe, but text me.
Great. Okay. Great. Thank you, Joe. And can I say this, Joe? In the face of people yelling and screaming, you took the time as, I'm the first time I'm seeing you as a dungeon master. But as a dungeon master so far, you've taken the time to answer my question, which, kudos to you.
Well, I think it's well known that I have, from the beginning of the minute, a veto guy.
Sorry, I'm only your brother.
And you're great. And you're a great brother. But
I'm only wearing your hat, your shirt, which I paid for. Didn't even get a discount. Full price.
Well, of course, you want to support your brother, don't you?
I would like to say this about Joe. I would like to get this out there before we get
into...
It's
going to be a long episode.
Well, but this is important. Because there's this stereotype of the Dungeons and Dragons person as a squirmy little nerd. And let's just, for those people that aren't watching, Joe is the lead singer of, a successful hardcore band, and he will also beat the shit out of you. So that is a thing where you should know that not all Dungeons and Dragons guys are, you can't put everyone in one box, okay? People have different interests.
That's really funny. Like, in the middle of a game, the guy is like, I just hit you with 80 dragon points. And Joe's like, fuck this. I'm just going to punch you.
Yeah, I just hit you with brass knuckles in your nose. Broken glasses.
Funny story. I made my last DM actually stat out brass knuckles as a weapon so that I could use them in game. So
yeah, when you say stat out, what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay.
Also, DM. I didn't get that.
This is
Dungeon Master.
In the game I play.
Oh, okay.
So here's the thing. Basically,
write down all the terms.
There's no the thing with Dungeon Dragons is there's no rules. There are things that every player can do depending on the character they choose, the race they choose. Furthermore, the race you choose, and then there's the class you choose, which is your job.
Yeah.
Your job will dictate what kind of weapons, what kind of armor, what kind of so-and-so you can have. Your armor will dictate how fast you can move. Can you be sneaky?
Joe. That makes a lot of sense. And I just need to pause real quick to say, Anthony, why are you writing down Dungeon Master? I would have reminded you, and it took you six full, that was a very long time to write two words.
I'm writing everything else that he's saying down.
Note-taking is encouraged.
Armor. I've written down everything Joe said so far.
My two enemies on the same podcast. How am I going to survive?
Two of your brothers.
Yeah.
And Brendan is just garbage. Two of my brothers. Yep. Brendan and Rui.
I said, no. I said two of your brothers, specifically because you have more brothers, obviously, Brenzo and my new friend, Dan Harumi, who, Dan, I don't know if you know, but now that you are in the wolf circle, I will kill for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That simple.
Now, if we're talking about brothers, pretty cool. Are we bringing Georgie into the mix? All right. Let's move on, Joe. Explain the
moves. Those are your stepbrothers?
I have a stepbrother named Georgie that no one
we really actually knows. Have two stepbrothers. How weird is that?
Who?
Betty's has a son.
This is new information.
It's crazy that Greg just now found out on the podcast about a different stepbrother he had.
Me and Greg drank with him at their wedding in the parking lot.
That guy was awesome.
The church for like an hour. I met him one time. It was in the parking lot to the church of the wedding. I hate to go off.
You don't got to put him over. He's not paying for the podcast.
I'm just saying, I met the guy and he looks at me and goes, are you my stepbrother? I go, are you Betty's kid? He goes, yeah. He says, cool, come over. He opened the hatchback to his car, opened a cooler full of beer in the parking lot of the fucking church where my father married my stepmother.
Oh, man. Rock on. Rock on, man.
All right, now let's get into it. Sorry, I will be moving us along as I have a real short temper for dilly-dallying.
So then what is your title?
Anthony, your friend stop Kurt. It.
I want to move us along. Now, so Joe, what's our first step in starting the game?
Our first step is establishing your characters. I told you ahead of time, kind of think of your backstory.
Don't write that down because we're going to do it right now, Anthony.
Well, I don't want to be in the lurch.
Anthony, feel free to take down any notes you need.
Thank you.
Hold on. No, Joe.
Thank you. DM has spoken.
No, I will speak. Feel free to take down any notes you want, but when you're taking the notes down, don't whisper audibly what the fucking notes are. You just went, establishing race. Not helpful. Not helpful. Just take the notes and quietly.
Fair. Take notes quietly. Got it. Yes.
Okay, so cool.
In Dungeons & Dragons, there are established races that you can start with. I thought for this game, I thought since you guys, I told you, kind of have an idea for your character ahead of time, you bring up, you say, this is the character, my guy. I will suggest those races to you. I say, this could work for
suggesting
this
race. Races seems very controversial in these
well,
times.
Well, let's make clear in these times, these yeah. races are fantasy races.
They are
right?
fantasy races.
Yes.
The
yes.
only human race
like
there
leather
is
daddies, because that's a fantasy race for me. It's in my fantasy to be leather bound and wet. I'm sorry, Joe. Move along. I don't mean to dilly-dally.
Okay, Joe.
Greg moved along himself.
I did. I'm very strict.
Joe, can
that's how deep it goes.
Joe, can I suggest something to counteract Anthony's
Greg? Enough already, Greg.
To counteract Anthony's sabotaging of the game, Joe, can I suggest that we take me for an example, and you just walk me through this character creation, and we'll do it that way. Okay, so my guy that I've come up with, you asked me to have a guy in name, a guy kind of in mind and a personality. My guy's name is, as everyone knows, I'm a big admirer of Viking culture.
Yes.
My guy is Torben Snakebite. He is motivated primarily by honor and achieving glory in war, but being a man of his word. But he also, as a Viking, it has a secondary motivation of greed, because they often, you know, much of their reputation was built on what they could loot and what they could plunder. So what would be perhaps a good race for Torben Snakebite?
Okay, so Torben Snakebite, very honor bound, like a Viking, into plummeting, pillaging rather, things like that. There's a couple ways you can go. There is a class that is barbarian. But there's similar things for Viking. Viking could go to barbarian, or it could go to fighter. A very honor-bound would also go to maybe what kind of god you worship, blah, blah, blah. So I would say, as a Viking, if you want to be the traditional kind of big, strong Viking top type guy, I would say for a race, you could go human, and we could make you a big human. We could make you a Goliath. A Goliath is sort of the smallest of the giant races. They're about 7 to 8 feet tall. They live in the mountains. They're motivated by perfection. And if you're less than perfect, they banish you from the tribe. That's how most Goliaths end up in the mix with the other races. Also good for an honor-bound race that is also kind of greedy.
This? And I interrupted you.
No, not at all. Go ahead.
How about I'm a Goliath? I was banished from my tribe because I do appreciate the traditional Viking values. However, I took a stand because Vikings would often, when they conquered some place, would take women by force. And I said, I will not have this. Therefore, I was considered imperfect by my tribe and banished. Does that fit the storyline?
Yeah, listen, I'll change anything. That's Dungeons & Dragons' number one rule. I will change anything so that you're happy with your character. Traditionally speaking...
What if I'm not happy with his attitude?
I love his attitude. He's got a lot of energy and enthusiasm right now. He's getting all excited.
Sorry, go ahead.
As a Goliath, you would stay alone up in the mountains. You are better than all the other people.
I see.
But perhaps your parents were banished for maybe being less than perfect. Maybe your parents were born with an extra finger or a little limpy. Maybe they were injured and they had to go down. As they came down, maybe they were adopted into a clan of Vikings who took them because of their strength. Okay? You were born into this Viking culture among humans. So maybe that affects your attitude.
I see.
I was raised among the human Vikings. I love the Viking gods. I love the Viking life. But I'm a Goliath. I'll always be out. Do you know what I mean? I'll always be a little bit off.
Yes, that's my father was born with a, like one of them, you know those guys with the sort of claw hands?
Here's the thing. Even an injury
like
is not good for the Goliaths.
Yeah.
If you're injured and you can't keep up, they put you out.
So that's what happened to my dad. I was therefore raised amongst the Viking people and celebrate the pagan gods. Now, so that's established my race, correct? I'm a Goliath.
You're a Goliath.
And then what are my job options?
Viking would be your job option.
Oh, that's wonderful. Perfect. Yep. Torben Snakebite established.
Okay. Nice. So here's the thing. I'm going to tell you your story, how the story's going to start.
Wait, do we can tell our characters first? Or you tell us the story first?
No. Because
I can't change my character.
I understand. You
That's
have to.
Rude.
You can change anything.
Yes. Keep your character, but I'm going to tell you the story layout, and maybe it changes how you approach it. You're going to start off with is more or less an unemployment agency.
What'd you say?
Okay.
Ah, cool.
The story starts off in more or less an unemployment agency.
An unemployment agency.
People are going to look at you. If you need work, you go in there. It's not all on the up and up, but they're going to be like, hey, you here. I've got something you could do. I got something.
This is now times or back in the day times?
This is Dungeons and Dragons. This is in a fantasy realm. Great. Okay. Great. We're all scared that a dragon could attack at any time. There's dwarves in the dwarf neighborhood. There's elves in the elf neighborhood. There's humans. There's gnomes. They're all in their own neighborhoods. We're all getting together. Hard times falling on us. You know what I mean? So Brendan's a Viking. I'm not writing your story, but here's a hypothetical. Brendan's Viking ship of people ransacked a village, not knowing that village was presided over by a wizard. The wizard wiped out his Viking crew. He barely got out. He's on his own. He still believes in his Viking gods. He still believes in everything he was raised. He's still trying to find his way in the world. But now, when he was trying to find his way in a tight-knit Viking community, now he's in the world at large as a Goliath, which aren't always smiled upon by other races because of how agoraphobic and, fuck you, we're Goliaths, we're alone. They're not smiled upon. They're not easily welcomed. And they're a very new race, so not a lot of people know what they're about. They're 7 to 8 feet tall. They're gray-skinned. They're covered in tribal tattoos all over their bodies. They're a scary fucking race. That's something to take into account. So now when they're like, I'm a guy, I'm looking for work, I'm 8 feet tall, I'm ripped to the friggin', what are you going to do? Everyone knows of this place where they need to make a little money. You go there and you say, I'm looking for work. That is the place where this is going to start.
Great.
Anything else about it, think about why your character that you wrote is in this place. You don't have to tell me now. You can put it in your back pocket.
Great. Wait.
That's all. And there you go.
All right. Anthony, you want to go next?
Brenzo is Torben Snakebite, Goliath of a Viking kind of background. Right? Is that cool?
That's perfect, and I think you nailed it. I went on a raid, and a Viking is obviously, they need men. That's how a Viking survived. They survived with having the men to row their ships and to attack. I'm now a Viking without a crew, which leaves me essentially destitute, which is why I'm in this office looking for jobs, whether they're on the up and up or not. And I am, you know, obviously a little scared because, you know, as a Viking, I don't show my fear, but, you know, I'm a Goliath. I'm not necessarily welcomed by these people, which is.
And you would be just as nervous of them as you are, you know, as they are of you.
Yes,
you've never been in an open community. Either right. As a Goliath or as a Viking, you are in a very secluded, tight-knit community.
Excellent. I'm done. Not done with the game, but my guy, I know why my guy's there. I know what he's about. Anthony, do you want to go or Greg or who's?
I wrote, Brendan, if you get tripped up, I wrote all your things down.
Great. Documenter Anthony DeVito. Yeah.
Okay, and I love your energy. I love where your head's at. But as the DM, I will also be keeping those notes.
Okay. I guess at some point we can compare notes.
Sure. Sounds great. Look forward.
At some point. Anthony, who's your character?
Yeah. Barry Claus.
Say it again.
Barry Claus.
Hold on 1 second. Just a second. I'll be right back.
Okay, Anthony, you need to explain your character.
Okay. So here's what I have so far. He's a grizzly bear born without claws. So All the other bears make fun of him. He also hates honey and salmon, an outcast in the forest. But he does have friends, Dash, Beetlebug, and Jimmy the Worm. Both canceled for making sexual remarks about a fox.
Been there.
And I, Anthony, as I live and breathe, play his conscience.
Okay.
Very so bad.
Am I right in assuming that Barry?
Can I say one more thing? I forgot about Joe.
Okay.
He really he wants to put out a record, but he doesn't know how.
Amen, brother. Now you have my sympathy also.
Can I ask a quick question?
Absolutely.
Clarification question before Joe gets into delineating your character. Is this clause as in, sorry, I had to get up because I thought I heard the fire alarm. But is it claws as in like a bear's claws or claws as in Santa Claus?
Oh, bear's claws.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So would I be safe to assume that you are a sentient bear?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, his music is very, it comes from a place of self-awareness.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Yes. I'd also like to note that who you're speaking to now is Anthony, who he lives and breathes, is the consciousness of the bear. So to speak to the bear, I think you need to talk to Anthony. Although if you want to talk to Torben, you kind of have to talk to Brendan. I don't understand how any of this works.
Well,
I just am Torben. Anthony's fucking it up by bringing consciousness into the mix.
Well, you'll see how it
goddamn
goes.
Inception.
I'll give you an example. So, okay. So Jimmy the Worm, he goes to Barry. Well, they're talking in the morning and he goes, I ain't do what they're saying. I didn't know what they're saying, Barry. And then I come in and I go, I don't know, Barry. Like, we've known Jimmy for a long time. And he does have a history of making foxes uncomfortable.
Which one was Barry again?
Barry is my character. It's him talking to Jimmy the Worm.
Can I ask a question here?
Yeah. You gave a second friend, right? It was Jimmy the Worm. And who was the second friend?
The second friend is Jimmy the Worm. Hang on, let me get my notes.
Get your notes. I don't know where they went. You were just literally writing them.
Beetlebug.
I have
Beetlebug, right.
I have a question here. And Joe,
yes, Brendan.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We're trying to complete a game of Dungeons & Dragons. Anthony, is there any way you could just make your guy one guy?
Like,
Is there any possibility?
He is one guy. He's Barry Claus,
yes.
I think.
No, he's Barry Claus's consciousness that's somehow related to Jimmy the fucking frog.
Well, I'm trying to give an example of how it works.
Sure.
So, now Barry...
I will say, as impossible as it is to follow, I am following.
Yeah.
So feel free, Brendan, to refer any questions to me as I can explain what's happening. Somehow I get this.
You can't overthink it.
So now I play Barry Claus's consciousness. Or conscious. I think it's conscious.
But isn't
right?
that just being Barry Claus? Like, I mean, I don't want to argue.
Well,
but if you're a person's conscious, aren't you them?
Yes. Philosophically, yes. But for the sake of this game, no.
Don't worry, Anthony. Brendan, as all it needs to, like, there's like a bunch of things happen. So here's what's happening, right? If you worked at a store, a lot of things happened in corporate, but don't worry, our day-to-day is going to be the same. But you can just speak to Anthony. You can play as if you'd be playing with anyone else. The other things that are happening are more upper-tier stuff that you don't need to worry about.
Yeah. Exactly. You get an email.
So Joe, what's a appropriate race for Barry Claus's consciousness?
Don't worry about the consciousness. We're just talking about our claws.
Barry Claus, I'm with Barry. Whatever Barry Claus is, I'm with him. I just happen to be the voice in his head.
Okay, so I'm going to explain to you real quick again. The beauty of Dungeons & Dragons is, if you tell me you want to be a sentient bear, as the DM, I'm going to make you a sentient fucking bear. If you look in the D&D book, there isn't a sentient bear, okay? But I look at other races that have similar, maybe nearly bear-like qualities, and I'm going to tweak it so that you're a fucking bear. I'm fine with it. I mean, look, there's a lot of that. Look at the fucking the Golden Compass and things like that. There's a lot of great sentient bears in fiction. I will make you a sentient bear.
Winnie the Pooh.
There you go. Winnie the Pooh. You know, Yogi Bear.
Tons. Yeah, the bears have a rich history of speaking English.
Everybody loves a good bear.
That's they do.
Yeah, Yogi. You know what I mean? They have a rich history. Unless you're watching Yogi Bear in Europe, in which case, they'll speak Yugoslavia. Rich history there, too.
As far as I know, the bears that I've known. Anthony, the talking
can I
bears something? That I've known is what I'm saying. Yeah, go ahead.
Can
go
I
ahead,
run something DM. By you?
Yes, DM.
Outside of the city where this is going to start,
sure.
There is a magical...
We'd love to move to the city.
Perfect. There's a magical forest. Yes. There's fairies, pixies... Everything's going on.
Yes.
All the powers of nature are very strong here.
Yes.
There are sentient animals everywhere. Bears, foxes, things like that. It's a very, if hunters go in there, they're immediately repelled. Everyone stays the fuck out of this forest because everyone knows that because in Dungeons & Dragons, there are very many sentient nature-based forces. There's nature-based gods. You are a sentient bear from this forest, and because your two best friends and your little trio, your entourage, were canceled due to their sexist jokes. Was it sexist jokes?
Yes, sexist. They made sexist jokes.
They said, "Listen, we can't do this anymore. This has gone too far. We've had enough of your bullshit. We can't have this kind of chauvinistic." Misogynistic bullshit in our magical natural forest. So take your bear and your worm and your beetle bug and get the fuck out.
Yeah.
That's a suggestion.
Yeah. Yes, that is what had happened. Whereas Barry is not, he's a supporter of the Me Too movement. But
he got caught up.
He got caught up. Well, he also has no other friends. So he's forced to hang out with these guys because no one else will hang out with him.
Okay. All right. Well, I have you here as Barry Claw's sentient bear.
Perfect.
Friend of Jimmy the Worm and Beetlebug.
Yes. Great.
Okay. And did you say that you were declawed at some point?
Yeah. Barry was No, he came out with no claws, and that's the issue.
He was born with no claws?
Yeah, he was born with no claws. He kind of has... He has kind of like the stumps, like a picture the top of a champagne bottle, like a cork.
So he just has fingers, little pads.
Yeah, little pads. Yes.
Okay.
It's really gonna come in handy when we have to fight somebody.
Yeah, great.
No claws.
Hey, but here's the thing.
I think more so is his his views on war.
Sure.
You guys are making fucking jokes, but I'm going to make all of this shit important.
Yeah.
All of your fucking strikes, which as a regular sentient bear would have had additional slashing damage, will not.
Right.
They will only
right.
give bludgeoning damage.
Okay, cool.
All of this, you guys think you're making fucking jokes, I'm going to blow your whole fucking world. I'm going to remember every fucking goddamn thing you tell me, and I'm going to make you pay for it later, such as my job as the dungeon master.
Yeah. Great.
Last, but certainly not least.
All right. I may have overwritten this guy.
Hold on. Oh, wait. Did Anthony, sorry to interrupt you, Greg. Does Anthony have a job? Or excuse me. Does Barry Claws, does he need to be also given a job or no?
A class.
Excuse me.
As a sentient bear, you probably wouldn't have a class. Your class would be fucking bear.
Yeah, it makes sense. Now, Greg, before you go.
If you want a class, you know what?
No, I think that's
actually good.
Forgive
me. I am incorrect. Barry is upset with his inability to cut a record, correct?
Yes, very much.
Barry is a fucking bard. As a bard, you are you will be able to get certain magics based on music and ability to play instruments. You also have a certain level of charm, which will help you when you interact with other people.
Great. This is
I'm going to put you down as Bear Bard.
And before we get to Greg, who I'm very excited to hear of this character.
Yeah, this will blow my fucking mind for sure.
A little business out of the way. Dan, if you could mention when we're at or around an hour, because I think the easiest thing
probably to, already are
the easiest the easiest thing to
and
do
I'm rather than go.
The easiest thing to do rather than cut these after the fact would be to stop recording and then re-record. That way we can give an intro and an outro and tell sure. people which episode it is. Greg, would you agree with that?
I don't know. I don't know. You're right. I don't think we've ever done this before. This is uncharted. This is uncharted worlds. So we'll yeah. just do it and we'll fling. Yeah. We'll fling like boogers through the air.
Yeah.
Now. Are we back? Can I
go? We're back, baby.
We good?
Yeah.
All right. I may have written too much information, so I'll try to speed through it. You let me know. You take what you need, throw the rest away. My character's name is his name is Kenny Dressings.
Wait. Say that again.
Ken Dressings.
Ken Dressings?
Yeah, but you're not going to talk about that because his name is Ricky Magic. Is Ricky
Whoa,
Magic.
Damn, but Ricky Magic.
He had to change his name for a little while because he was working in Ricky Magic's Auto Emporium Superstore, which was not owned by him. It was owned by another Ricky Magic who he has no relation to and also doesn't respect. Anthony, can you
there.
Down somewhere. You're throwing off my vibe.
Sorry, man. I'm going outside.
That seems like the worst case scenario.
It's going to be okay. This will be a better station for me.
Okay. Okay. So Ricky Magic or Ken Dressing like will be addressed as either, but he kind of is trying to get back into Ricky Magic since he's left the Audio Superstore where he used to work.
Sure.
He stopped aging at the age of 38. No one knows how old he is. He only dates women from community college freshmen. That's his big thing, is he hangs out at the local community college looking for freshman girls. That's what he dates. He did work in the warehouse at Ricky Magic's Auto Emporium, where he got most of his... Oh, good, Anthony. The outside has falcons that we get to hear now.
Well, I thought
this is Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, I mean, it does kind of add to it.
I thought it would add to it. This is Barry's world.
He drives a Mazda Protege, which is yellow. He's got it dropped. He's got lots of crazy stickers on the back that say a lot of crazy things. He constantly talks about how he's got great mileage on such an older car because it is a 1996, but that thing purrs.
Listen,
like
you get the oil changed, you stay on top of the fluids, you go for your regular checkups, you're going to get an extra 100,000 miles out of that fucking car.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, I am a Goliath, but I know a thing or two. And people, they always say, buy American. And I tell them, well, you know what? How about you make an American car that lasts for 600,000 miles, then I'll buy American. Until then, I'm with Ken Dressings. I'm buying Japanese.
Yeah, yeah. AKA Ricky Magic.
Of course.
Just letting you know. Yeah, he also does talk about, he has it's the station wagon one, and there's huge speakers in the back because Ricky Magic loves bass, just letting you know. Ricky Magic also is big call to fame is that he is the bass player in a band with Reese Witherspoon's younger brother, who's a little arrogant.
Should that be Grease? Is that Grease Witherspoon?
No, I wrote it. I mean, it didn't. I did write it down. Oh, it's just Seth Witherspoon. But I'm sorry, I think Reese was better, but what can you do?
It could also have been Reese spelled differently. That would also
Yeah. he has a lot of ex-girlfriends who will fight for him because they still love Ricky Magic, even though that he's broken up with them. I'm sorry, I'll just get through all of this. He studied Hare Krishna for a year, but it really
No, man, sit in these. These are all good.
Yeah.
Working at Ricky Magic's Audio Emporium, he would do lots of trades with people. He'd get them, he'd steal audio equipment and then give him things. His major guy he would work with worked at the Hot Topic, who would give him incorrect shirts. So he wears a lot of Pantera shirts that just say Panera on them. It's just things to know because they were misprints. He sells Adderall offline, online. They're just
someone call me because I'm running low.
And then also. Oh, Ricky Magic. One more thing. Ricky's car. Oh, yeah. And he always wears cargo shorts that seem to have an infinite amount of gadgets in them that he got from Facebook ads.
Oh, that will come in handy.
Yeah.
That will come in handy.
Now, you know the thing about, I don't know what class he is, because Ricky Magic has no class. That he always knows that. He's always like, this guy is classless. But also, Dungeon Master, you know what class.
Okay.
Or you could tell me what class he is from what you read.
Greg's winking at his brother, for those of you only listening to the audio.
An attempted bribe.
Joe does not seem to know what he means. And I would like to mention, nothing a Viking Goliath loves more than going on a quest with two fucking bards.
Yeah.
What's a bard?
You're a bass player. I got two musicians. We're trying to win a quest.
Okay, well, here's the thing. My first instinct would be what Brendan say. Ricky would be a bard, but just because you're a bard doesn't mean you're a musician. A bard also means that you're high in charm. You're good at talking and bullshitting and kind of schmoozing people. If Barry Claus tried to like put the moves on somebody to get his way by talking, I wouldn't give him any kind of advantage on those roles.
I have to,
but
if
you wanted
Joe.
To get over by playing some music, I would say, all right, I'm going to give you a little juice there.
I don't know that Ricky Magic is good at talking, because he was fired from the Hot Topic warehouse for slapping a 15-year-old. I did make note of that.
I thought he was a salesman.
What did that have to do with talking? He worked at Ricky Magic's Auto Emporium, but he got that job because he was fired from the Hot Topic warehouse for slapping a 15-year-old because they didn't respect his music choice.
Friends, so I apologize.
It's okay. I didn't make that note.
There are two musicians. I was wrong, and you were correct.
Well,
he's an aspire. Barry's
he does have.
Musician.
Barry's in a better band than no. Ken Dress is in a better band than you, Barry. Now,
yeah, Barry's a singer-songwriter type.
Here's the thing, though. What are some of the other classes? Because I felt like Ken Dressing / Ricky Magic had so many skills that he could fit in a lot of places. What are some of the other classes available? Well,
I want to be a high priest.
As I understand Greg's telling, while I would say he has a lot of life experience, I'm going to generously say, he didn't actually tell me he was good at any of those things.
Interesting.
Not. You're right.
Yeah.
You're so smart.
As much as Greg spoke, and as he gave much more than any of you, he literally gave me zero information that I could use into finding him an existing class.
He's a high priest because he studied Hare Krishna for a year.
So he's a high priest in Hare Krishna, which I now have to figure out how Hare Krishna, a real religion, manifests itself into a completely imaginary world.
I can
also
help you a little.
Hare Krishna is a completely peaceful religion, which gives you no bonuses of any kind to any kind of attacks or things that we will be using in this game.
He can gather donations from people at the park when he gives them necklaces and books.
You are teetering somewhere between monk and holy man.
I'm sorry, I don't want to keep playing this sound. He will punch you in the face because he has slapped a 15-year-old. Also, the Hare Krishna thing he only brings up when it makes him look good. You know,
is there such a thing as a because I'm really intrigued. I feel like for whatever quest we embark upon, I'm really intrigued by his cargo shorts. Seems like it could become, first of all, his vehicle could really take us places at higher rates of speed. Great mileage on that thing, as we've heard. Second of all, these cargo shorts. So is there any kind of monk handyman driver situation you can have going, like this wise crafty vehicle man? Is there such
again anything you my job as DM is to make what you want exist and make it work in this story. So like there is no race sentient bear, okay, in the books, but because it's Dungeons and Dragons, because I'm a DM, I'm going to invent sentient bear for more or less based on other things.
Great.
So first off, there's a class known as fighter. fighter can be any, and from fighter, there's a billion other things. Fighter is basically a motherfucker that will, that will just throw hands. You know what I mean? Kind of knows it. Doesn't mean you have to. Doesn't mean you're aggressive. It just means that he doesn't use magic. He's just a fighter. You know what I'm saying? And from fighter, there are a million other things that come out of that. There's archer classes and cavalier, which rides a mount. So what I'm thinking is cavalier would lend itself to Ken, a.k.a. Ricky, in his protege. Because as a cavalier, you're added bonuses granted to your mount itself. Normally, it's a horse or, you know, something reasonable. But in this case, it's a Mazda protege. So I'll have to figure that out myself on the fly, which is not that difficult. So what I think right now is you are going to be a cavalier fighter, which means your Mazda protege will grant you storage and bonuses to your fighting that I will kind of evolve based on what a car would do.
Great. Does that make sense? Yeah, man, I'm good. I say I trust you.
And I can I say this about Ricky and Ken?
Sure.
I think you know a lot about what not to do because you've been fired from so many jobs.
That is true.
Well, and so
he doesn't really seem to learn lessons.
Well, but let's not forget, he's also of indeterminate age. He could know he could know things dating back centuries that
good
could
call.
Come in handy. He, again, as he said, he does not seem to learn lessons, but we never know. Will he hear him out?
So, and also, Greg,
Now
we have to most important, what is your race?
Well, I do want to say that, just to be clear before I move to that, it is a 2003 Mazda Protege 5.
Sure.
Candy early, yellow.
Earlier.
So obviously, if you're going to get a Protege, you can't go any way but the 2003.
The MP5.
Or else what's even the point?
We can call it the MP5. Yes, Anthony, did you write that down?
I did write that down. Now, when it comes to the Protege, and I hope I'm not stepping on the DM's toes.
By all means.
How did he get it?
Oh, that's from working at the Hot Topic. He did pay for it outright.
He paid for it outright. Okay.
And as you guys know, we have an astute fan base that likes to point out errors. And I will tell you right now, that was not an error. Ricky Magic plays fast and loose with the truth. Earlier when he said it was a 96 Protege, he was fooling you. He was pulling your leg.
Are we arguing? Oh, that's not the right one, Dan. Sorry.
It's the wagon version, Dan. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here. Over here is where.
You'll see. It's the, I just want to be correct if we're going to show the MP5. I want to.
I have put your class as Cavalier Fighter / Thief Rapscallion.
Great. That works for me. I was just going to say Elf, but that is even better.
You like Elf? I'll give you Elf. I'm talking about your class. Your race?
Oh, great.
If you Elf would be the only race you could get that's on the books that would let you have memory of thousands of years.
Okay. I mean, here's the thing, right? Ricky might have a secret about what he really is.
You could also be a half-elf.
But we'll figure that out later.
Sure.
And I also want to, just to real quick to talk to Brendan, I do want to say that the 96 Protege, I did know what I was saying, and it is his 96th car. He's been 96
of them.
That's
why I said to our fans, I said, Ricky knows what he's talking about. He's not making errors. He's had 96 Proteges, which a lot of guys don't wreck 96 Proteges. But Ricky
Is it the 2003?
It's the 2003.
Okay, so it's his 96th.
Greg, can I just jump in on something Joe said that I think might be appealing? I'm not sure if you heard it. There also is the option on the table to be half elf, because I do like the idea of Ricky Magic being half human, half elf. There's some real intrigue there. Now, obviously, that's your choice, but
so what you all see is, and Joe, you tell me how it goes. What everyone knows me as is human. That is.
Okay,
what
well, here's the beauty
as.
Of it. You could be a half-human. You could be a half-dwarf. You could be a half-elf. You could be a half-orc.
Half-human, half-?.
Interesting.
Okay. So my thing is you could have had your ears fixed to look regular to hide your other half.
Right, yes. Yes, give me that, Wolf. Dungeon Master Joey.
Ricky is the only one of us that knows how to drive, right?
Yes. Unless no. You tell me.
And it also should be noted. Oh, sorry, Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, Barry can't drive.
Well, he's a fucking bear, so that's not too surprising.
Can we call him Barry?
Yeah, his name is Barry Claus.
Not Bay. Oh, so Barry.
Barry.
Yes, like Barry.
Oh, wonderful. I have to edit that. Okay.
That's okay.
I gave it the traditional spelling. Forgive me.
And I also want it to just be noted that a sensitive topic, because we are talking weaknesses, is that Ricky bought the automatic MP5 knowing that the real drivers do stick shift. And so he is a little sensitive about the fact he's driving an automatic. So
that
lends to the personality. He's going to feel, you know, kind of like insufficient. Like, you know, I got the automatic. Am I even a real protege driver? Like, you know, like,
absolutely.
Am I worthy of the Mazda? These are things you got to keep in your brain.
All right, we ready to go? I'm ready to go.
That's the thing. When you try the manual 96 times and you just can't get it, you finally go, you know what? I'm gonna do the automatic on this one.
Listen, it's a tired old routine. It's been said 1,000 times, but the automatic protege is too much car for a lot of people.
Well,
everyone that can just get in there.
Yeah, this was great because this did give us some insight in that Ricky does learn. It just takes a long time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like it took 96 demolished Mazda proteges for him to figure out that he can't drive a stick shift.
Well,
but he did figure it out.
Well, but also keep this in mind. If you're going to get a job done, sometimes you want – a man who looks 38, who knows how old he is. You want a man of that age who's willing to slap a 15-year-old in the face. You know what I mean? That sometimes that comes in handy when your own personal ethics will say that's too young. You want a guy like Ricky Magic who says that mouth ain't too young to get fucking slapped.
Exactly. And here's the thing. It takes a strong man to open that hand.
Right.
Punching a 15-year-old in the face is completely out of control.
Right.
You understand? But what is the inner fortitude it takes to at the last second open that hand and make it a lesson?
It's because he wants to teach. Like you said, he is a teacher. If you ask for a medium and I come back and you say extra large, you're going to get punched and you're going to learn to know your size before I go into the back room.
I don't want to
– but fair.
I don't want to foreshadow too much here, but I have a feeling that Ricky Magic's string, just seemingly endless streak of failures, hide a great success. I think there's something going on there that's a little deeper than we think.
I'd like to also note that a thing he is good at learning, but one thing he hasn't learned is that dating community college freshman girls is too young for him, even though they're over 18. Even though they're over 18, they're still too young for even his lowest guest age, which would be 38, but God knows if that's true.
Like, what problems does he run into when he dates them?
The same they're ones just, we all do?
Yeah.
I mean, other people, not me.
Yeah.
They
don't apply themselves to go to four-year schools. My battery is exhausted.
Me too.
Battery on what? The camera?
Oh, yeah, we're back.
There we go. Harumi, where are we at time-wise?
We're just about at the end of the first episode.
All right, well, I think the character development is an excellent teaser for you guys. This is going to be the free episode coming out Tuesday. If you want to hear the conclusion of our entire Dungeons and Dragons extravaganza, which hasn't even started yet, you're going to have to subscribe to each level of the Patreon. That's patreon.com/raddudecast. You gotta tune in to see what Ken Dressing / Ricky Magic, Torben Snakebite, and Barry Claus run into. Come back.